It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, WPR reporter in the northeastern part of the state. Joe Schultz is here to catch us up on his latest stories. Joe's based in the Fox Valley, covering regional news and stories of statewide interest about business, labor, and the economy. Call in at any time with your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Joe, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So let's start with hospitals and the state budget. The legislature's budget committee is in the final weeks of crafting its two-year plan for state spending. And you recently reported on how hospitals are calling for higher Medicaid reimbursement rates. So let's listen a bit here to Wisconsin Hospital Association CEO Eric Borgeding.
Access to healthcare in Wisconsin is some of the best in the country. What we want to avoid is having it start to crumble.
Having it start to crumble, Joe, what are hospitals seeking from state lawmakers?
So they're requesting $185 million annually to bring Medicaid reimbursement closer to the actual cost of care. You know, right now they say that Medicaid reimbursement covers roughly 67% of the cost of providing healthcare, and they want to bring it closer to the actual cost. So I think they say that this would bring it to about 85%. And they've really kind of cited Medicaid reimbursement as one of the major financial hurdles that they're kind of facing right now. Obviously, you know, hospitals are kind of dealing with inflation like the rest of us. And then they're also, you know, combating a labor shortage like a lot of other employers. And that's caused their labor costs to increase. And, you know, in the first part of 2022, a lot of hospitals were operating at a deficit. And the association says that, you know, that's kind of untenable. So they're asking the state to kind of boost Medicaid reimbursement to bring it closer to cost. They're not trying to be reimbursed above cost.
And so this would be a way for them to bring some measure of relief to their balance sheets. Would this fix the financial position they're in?
It's unclear, I guess. They say that it would significantly help. It wouldn't necessarily address inflation. You know, they made a big point. The hospital association kind of made a big point of they're not asking lawmakers to kind of fix their margins. They're just asking for a little bit of relief in the one part of healthcare that lawmakers have the most say in, and that's kind of the Medicaid program, which is a federal program, but it's kind of administered by the state through Badger Care.
You've been also following the consolidation of hospitals in Wisconsin. Several hospitals have merged over the past year, Freidert Health and ThetaCare, the latest to announce merger plans. What is driving this consolidation in the industry?
So it's kind of a couple things. It's, you know, some of the challenges that we talked about, like inflation and the labor shortage, and also, you know, those Medicaid reimbursement rates. And, you know, spokespeople for the Hospital Association said that, you know, mergers in Wisconsin haven't really hurt competition. And, you know, they're kind of designed to, you know, make hospitals, I don't want to say leaner because they're getting bigger, but, you know, just kind of put them in a better position to weather some of these hurdles that they're kind of facing. And it also, you know, like proponents of mergers say that they could provide, you know, some hospitals with different specialists or some patients with different specialists, because different hospitals have different areas of expertise. But, you know, critics of mergers say that they, on average, lead to higher prices. Primarily, that's, you know, mergers that are in one geographic area. But there's also some evidence that, I guess, they're called cross-market mergers. There's, you know, some evidence that those also lead to higher prices. And those are mergers when, like, I think ThetaCare and Freidert is a really good example, because Freidert's, you know, mostly in the southeast part of the state. And mm-hmm. then ThetaCare is up by me in northeast Wisconsin. And also they serve central Wisconsin. So they're in different regions of the state. And that's kind of an example of a cross-market merger. But there's some evidence that those mergers also have an impact on price. But you know, it's just kind of a little too early to tell. But there's some worries from folks.
Okay, keeping an eye on those alliances. We're going to move now to housing. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers unveiled a package of bills this month in an effort to improve access to affordable housing. And one of the lead sponsors was on WPR Central Time, our afternoon program, to discuss the legislation. Here's Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn of Cameron talking about zoning rules.
Developers need certainty. That's a huge component of this. They have to know that when they find a plot of land in a particular area that's zoned a particular way, when they develop a project, they have to know it's going to be approved in a timely manner, because our construction season is very short in northern Wisconsin. And if it's not here, they'll build somewhere else. So what we want to do is say, hey, communities, go back and look through your ordinances, through your master plans, through your zoning requirements. And is this really where you want to be? Or could there be more flexibility? Because once these are set, you have to approve projects that fit your criteria. So communities would be no longer be allowed to move the ball on developers when a project is trying to come in.
You've examined this legislation. What are its supporters trying to accomplish?
So I guess really kind of the big thing that, you know, the supporters say is driving the housing shortage in their mind is, you know, there's an imbalance of supply and demand. After the Great Recession, we just home building and, you know, just housing construction really kind of slowed down during the Great Recession, and it never really, you know, picked back up. It was starting to pick back up, and then the pandemic hit. So the package of bills, you know, most of them are aimed at providing, you know, financial incentives to developers in the form of low to no interest loans. And those, you know, for a lot of housing projects, developers have to borrow money, and that's kind of a big part of the construction costs. And with high interest rates right now, you know, low to no interest loans from the state could, you know, help spur development, especially in, you know, some of these unconventional projects, like above, you know, there's housing in a lot of Wisconsin downtowns that's above Main Street businesses, you know, like retail establishments and things like that. So those aren't like big housing developments with a lot of units. So they're not necessarily as financially viable. So these loans could help make those kind of developments a little more, you know, financially viable for developers. And then, you know, the piece that Romaine Quinn was kind of talking about is a bill that Gary Duchesne with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities kind of described to me as, he called it a truth in zoning bill, because it really kind of, it prevents people from kind of coming in at the last minute to block housing development, as long as that housing development meets the criteria kind of set forth in a municipality's zoning rules. But like the key thing with that is, you know, if there's a development that doesn't fit like the zoning code for a specific area, like say a developer's trying to build a big apartment complex in a single family neighborhood, and they need it, they need that parcel to get rezoned or a variance, you know, community members could still come in and kind of petition their local leaders and say, you know, we don't think that you should rezone this property. So it, you know, gives a little bit more certainty for those developments that kind of meet existing zoning criteria, but it still kind of gives
a voice,
residents room to kind of negotiate if it falls outside of those criteria.
We dig into the reporting of WPR's Joe Schultz, based in the Green Bay Bureau, where he covers business, labor, the economy, other issues. Be part of our conversation. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with WPR reporter Joe Schultz, based in the Fox Valley in the northeastern part of the state, breaking down his recent reporting on housing and healthcare, economic issues, and the repercussions on the rest of the state. Join in by calling with a question. Share your thoughts at any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Joe, U.S. News and World Report recently names Green Bay the nation's best place to live. Why is that?
So each year, you know, the U.S. News and World Report ranks the 150 biggest municipalities in the country. And Green Bay, it turned out, you know, Green Bay was the number one place to live in the country. It was the only Wisconsin city to crack the top 10. Madison came in at number 11 and Milwaukee was 65th. And, you know, they said Green Bay is affordable, there's low crime, and, you know, there's varied attractions from places like Lambeau Field to the Bay Beach Amusement Park. And there's also a ton of outdoor activities that people can enjoy in all seasons.
What did you hear from people in Green Bay about this award?
So I don't know. It was kind of funny. I did some man on the street interviews, and it's always kind of an awkward thing to be just walking downtown with a microphone asking people to talk. But there was, an older couple, and they were kind of biking through downtown. And when I broke the news to, the wife, she was just like super thrilled. And you know, they told me that they moved to the city in the 1980s and, you know, they raised their kids there, and now their kids are raising their children in Green Bay. And, you know, kind of the biggest thing that I heard over and over was that, you know, the city is a good place to raise a family. And, you know, it's got a small town feel with big city amenities was kind of what folks were kind of telling me. But they also did have some pet peeves, but they're, you know, pretty similar to some of the pet peeves you'd hear in most of Wisconsin. Like one person mentioned that, you know, the roads could use some work, but winters are pretty tough on the roads here in Wisconsin. one person said, you know, beware of football season because it can get a little rowdy on Sundays. So it was, you know, people that I spoke to kind of overwhelmingly like had a pretty positive view of the city. And, you know, they did have some pet peeves, but I think everybody's got some pet peeves wherever they live, right?
That is true. And it sounds like they were very kind about those particular pet peeves. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg recently visited Green Bay to tout the bipartisan infrastructure law. Let's listen to part of his remarks during that visit.
This city and this region is so key to Midwest commerce and so well positioned because of its infrastructure. A major highway just half a mile away. You got that rail line that connects right into the port. You got links into the St. Lawrence Seaway, a shipping route that can get goods from the Midwest out all around the world.
The transportation secretary really pinpointing placemaking there in terms of commerce. What else did he talk about during the visit?
So kind of the main thing that was kind of talked about, he held a press conference with Tammy Baldwin and then local leaders. And the main thing that they kind of talked about was this $10.1 million grant that the Port of Green Bay received to turn an old decommissioned power plant at the mouth of the bay into a state-of-the-art port facility. And yeah, that was kind of the main thing. But then he opened it up and took a couple questions, and he took a question about a proposal to extend passenger rail from Milwaukee to Green Bay. And, you know, he said he feels the region can put forth, you know, a strong proposal on that as well.
Okay, so that hangs in the balance, but rail did rise to the top there as still a pressing issue for that region.
Yeah, he said, you know, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, you know, brought it up almost as soon as he, you know, greeted the transportation secretary. And, you know, there's local leaders a few months ago signed off on, you know, they want passenger rail to extend through the Fox Cities and into Green Bay. You know, I think, you know, mayors and city administrators or city managers kind of signed off on a letter of intent, just saying, you know, that this is something that we want.
All on the same page. I'm going to reintroduce you here as we talk with WPR's Green Bay and Northeastern Wisconsin reporter Joe Schultz about the latest news and developments, broader implications. You can join in with a question at 800-642-1234. Carol is joining us from Milwaukee. Carol, what's on your mind?
I was wondering if the reporter knows about the problem of housing in or if they have anything going on in Green Bay connected with the change from poorer renters to richer renters. They come in, big construction and big changes happen in whole neighborhoods where people end up having to move out because the rents go up so high, and it's happening en masse in the north side of Milwaukee. And it's very hard on poorer people, mm-hmm. whereas people from the suburbs might want to come back into the city and be close to each other again, you know. So do they have anything like that in Green Bay?
Carol, thank you. Joe?
So, you know, affordable housing is a big issue across Wisconsin in almost any community. I think local leaders will kind of tell you that affordable housing is a major issue. Green Bay did a study a few years back that kind of looked at, you know, how many units the city needs. I know in Northeast Wisconsin, some homeless shelters have said that, you know, rents are kind of getting to a point in a lot of places where it's hard for them to provide subsidized housing programs, because those programs need to be offered for fair market rents, I want to say. But I haven't heard anything specifically about Green Bay, but I know it is a major issue kind of across the state that local leaders are kind of looking at. And, you know, it's kind of a universal issue.
We only have a few seconds left, Joe, but what are you watching for next in your coverage of the northeastern part of the state as we move toward the height of summer?
You know, I mean, EAA, there's an annual air festival that's coming to Oshkosh. So that'll be something to watch, you know, and just kind of looking for interesting developments in, you know, Appleton, Green Bay, the Fox Cities, and, you know, prepping for the NFL draft and Jordan Love, his first season under center. You know, I think that'll be kind of an interesting thing to watch.
Got to round it to the Packers. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Joe Schultz is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio based in the Fox Valley. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.